Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, January 12th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everyone. It is a balmy 56 degrees and very cloudy here in upstate New York. Looks like we're going to get some rain, but it is spring in January here in New York. So where do we leave off yesterday? Good morning, Mr. Matty Clues. Oh, there's eight whole people in chat now. We titled the show Project BioShield, DARPA, 21st Century Cures, Big Pharma versus RFK Jr. And for that one person out there who thought that they were going to teach me a lesson by giving me a thumbs down and tell me how shitty my show was, I don't buy it. I've been following this stuff for a very long time, and I laid out some pretty harrowing facts there yesterday. I bet a lot of people didn't know about Project BioShield and experimental vaccines being in the pipeline already since 2001, and I could guarantee you long before that, when they inked that, I always forget the name of the convention, but it blocked the development of biological, chemical, and nuclear weapons. And we had Nixon ink that puppy in 1972. I think they ratified it in 69. They had said at that point that we were going to stop all of our biological warfare program except in development of vaccines to defend our population. But remember, to defend our population from bioterror threats, we have to have our hands on the pathogen. And so that never stopped. And they have been working covertly, not only with these very virulent pathogens, but also with how they can manipulate the human immune system utilizing different adjuvants. You know, they have aluminum, and squalene was the experimental one that they managed to slip through utilizing emergency powers in the name of a pandemic to get that squalene into the United States, where unsuspecting, well-meaning American citizens took their nanas and their kids because they started to get scared. They were pushing it on TV. They were beating that drum, telling us that we didn't have enough flu shot, and now we just got some. So go get your kids, save them, because they're going to die if they don't. And guys, I just saw a new study the other day. We studied a lot about the brain and about them learning how to very accurately push those brain chemical buttons. And, you know, I don't know, if you were like me, the engineering scientific mind type, you looked at all this stuff in the past and thought it was absolute lunacy, because I know I did. And everybody who walked around who looked like a mental patient talking about this stuff, I used to just roll my eyes until I really, really started to dig a little bit. Like I've said before, pull that thread. Just pull any thread. The sweater's got tags all over it. Pull one. Something that seems, and I mean, I don't know. Don't make sure you look at something for me, okay? Don't go to some of those other lunatic sites where they're claiming that we have, you know, aliens from Alpha Centauri feeding us, you know, green goo that's turning us into who the hell knows what, okay? That stuff is just, there's spectrums, right? We've talked about mental health on a spectrum. Well, there's spectrums of truth. Some truth is spun where there's one little seedlet of truth and lots of fat that grew up around it. But there's some truth that's buried out there that's in the middle of all this talk box and all this chaos. It is literally the Tower of Babel. We don't know what's true anymore. And Obama did that. Obama helped with all that. Of course, they blamed it all on the fake news. I saw they're planning on getting rid of the term now, fake news, for 2017. They wore it out already. But, you know, as they spun out this fake news mantra, and we also saw in 2016, we had a crisis in the publishing of medical studies and experiments. Because lo and behold, oh no, that pesky FDA that's been creating so many problems that is no longer an issue with the 21st Century Cures Act in place. That pesky FDA was allowing research that maybe wasn't properly peer-reviewed, or that maybe had been financed by a corporate entity to show the safety of their products. And it had been discovered that there was a lot of that research out there that should have been either redacted or removed that wasn't. So it took the entire establishment of having its foundation shaken. But what is so surprising to me, and maybe not, is that the medical establishment is now pointing to fake news, saying, look, you can't trust anything. These people are making this stuff up. Oh, my God. It's why Trump won the election. Do your research, people. Be a researcher. You know what? Because you people can't do your own research, we are just now going to have our truth department. We have our truth algorithms. And our quote-unquote verified news now being run by an entity like the UN, but not the government, per the suggestion of Billy Clinton back in 2011. Well, they did it, people. It's got all this quote-unquote verified wink news against a database of Google's choosing. Some of it made up of Wikipedia facts. Some of it made up of Snopes facts. Who knows? Who knows who is defining right now what is truth? But as we have the fake news mantra now, they feel like they've destroyed us for 2017. We have the FDA, you know, they fast-tracked that 21st Century Cures Act. That was the one thing to get done before vacation. And the dangling carrot to them was that they were all invested, we discovered, in biotech. And the motley fool said, oh, 2020 is the year. We are going to make a bazillion dollars. Get in on the ground floor now, because we're going to make a whole bunch more new millionaires. And so they all jumped on board. They all moved their portfolios around, and then they all voted. And then they went on vacation. How nice is that? But in the meantime, we just brushed any teeth that were left in the FDA, and there weren't very many. It was kind of rotten and broken. It was one little fang. And now, all that stuff, it was out there. I mean, I don't know. We read it was maybe $100,000 and a couple months of research, and they had to present to the FDA. And oh my God, it costs too much money to invest in a drug that isn't going to make us profits. And so the drug companies weren't making cures for things that weren't making money. So they had to find a way to incent these multi-billion dollar corporations to make stuff to save you and Nana and Susie and Johnny. So we got this $5.3 billion 21st Century Cures Act now. We had DARPA before sprinkle funding all the universities and the hospitals, but now we even have it official, and they got the promise of the rubber stamp of the FDA to let it pass through. Now, in the meantime, we find out that, like I said before, there was a lot of this research that had already made it to publication that wasn't necessarily true. And that came from the medical establishment. That came from little overzealous Johnnies in college who wanted to make a name for themselves and get published. Not worrying about ethics, schmethics, or truth, smooth. Let's just get it published. Let's make a name for ourselves. Let's get an IPO spinoff and some of that DARPA dollar funding to then mess with it. Guys, this has just been lots of unscrupulousness that has been going on for a very long time. And now what's happened is, so we have these brainwashed vaccine supporters. And I'm going to tell you now, look, there is total anti-vaccine people. And there are people that believe in vaccines but don't believe in the schedule. There are people that maybe believe in old school vaccines and don't believe in putting all the synthetic Frankenstein shit into them and then pumping them into our kids. I'm somewhere in the middle of the spectrum. You know, when I was a kid, they convinced me that I needed to get my vaccines. And, you know, when I got older, and I've talked about this story many times before, back in the 90s, my cat Oliver, he's the most beautiful cat ever. He was sleek and totally 100% black, looked like a panther with these big orange eyes. He was just such a beautiful animal. He really looked like he should have been in a commercial. Just every muscle rippled, and he was perfectly shaped. About a year old, it was like a Saturday morning, and I had fallen asleep on the couch the night before, been watching X-Files. It was when X-Files was actually new episodes on TV Friday nights, the original. And he ran across the kitchen and into my bedroom and jumped up on a coffee table that had been was one of those coffee table fish tanks. Had been my uncle's years ago before he died. And I had a lizard that lived in there. Anyway, he ran and he jumped on top of the coffee table fish tank, which had a round glass table. And he must have bumped his knee because I heard this twang. And, I mean, the cat literally went insane. He started screaming and running, and his leg was dangling behind him, like all limp and everything. And I didn't know what to do, and I thought he broke it. So, of course, I'm calling my mother. I'm like, oh, my God, I think the cat broke his leg. She's like, well, what are you calling me for? Take him to the vet. So I called the vet. And I rushed him, and I mean, it was probably 8 o'clock in the morning, so literally, I had just gotten up. I mean, I threw a t-shirt on, and I was gone. And we go to the vet. Here's this beautiful animal, the complete vision of health, and they took an x-ray, and she comes back to me, and she says, well, she says, I'm not 100% certain, but there's one of two things that this could be, and she stuck the x-ray. Mind you, this was probably 93, maybe 94. This happened. She stuck the x-ray, opened the little light box. And if you've ever seen Lorraine Swiss cheese, have you ever seen Lorraine Swiss cheese? Because I like Lorraine Swiss cheese. But I still remember that instant when I saw that x-ray. It literally looked like she had taken a photograph of Lorraine Swiss cheese. And that was my cat's thigh bone. She said it could be one of two things. She says a very severe bone infection could do this to the bone, or juvenile bone cancer. And I was like, juvenile bone cancer? Bone infection? Where could those have come from? She said, well, there's two other things we could do now. We could start them on some antibiotics and then maybe do another x-ray in a week or so and see if it has made any difference. That way we could determine if there is some infection in there, and we could do a biopsy and see what it comes back with. Well, we did both. We came back in a week, and sure than shit, nothing had happened for those Swiss cheese, Lorraine Swiss cheese, to go away. And it came back with the telltale signs of cancer. So, and I know you guys are going, why are you spending 10 minutes telling us a story about your cat in the 90s? Well, because I'm going to tell you, this is why this is important. This is why when I talk about things about Project BioShield and adjuvants and putting them into our kids and some of this crazy 21st century cure shit that's going on right now, I lived through some of the experimentation that was going on already with our animals that we didn't know about. So anyway, back to the end of the story. So it was cancer. And we had done some investigation into the other organs. It hadn't looked like it had spread. So I had two options. I could allow the cancer to continue and spread throughout his body. I could get him put to sleep, or I could have his back leg that was full of it amputated. What a horrifying place to put somebody into for making a decision for a little creature that you love. It was probably one of my most traumatic moments up until that point in life. And I decided against my best judgment that I was going to have the leg amputated. I could not, with any good conscience, have the animal put to sleep. I mean, he was my best friend. It was me and the cat. That was it. Number one. And number two, there was nothing wrong with him before that morning. There didn't seem to be. And number three, it hadn't spread anywhere. So we went ahead with the surgery. In the meantime, I had some long conversations with the doctor, and a few things that I learned was that number one, she had done her education at Cornell University, which is a New York State veterinary school. Well, it's not just a veterinary school, but it has a veterinary school, and it is one of the top veterinary schools in the nation. They had been doing research already for quite a number of years in regards to vaccines and carcinomas in pets. And she told me that they had discovered that at the injection site of the rabies as well as the feline leukemia vaccine. And by the way, just so you know, they found sarcomas in both cats and dogs, but I'm talking about in cats in particular because that is where I did my research, that the feline leukemia vaccine and the 3-year rabies vaccine had caused a carcinoma. And one of the reasons why in the past that they had stopped giving injections. And if you remember when you were a kid, you will remember this. They used to give your pets the injections at the base of the neck in the scruff where they could grab them, pick them up, and then they pop them all in there. Well, she told me that, oh, lo and behold, what was happening to some animals is that they were getting these carcinomas. And I don't know, there are all kinds of them. There's fibrosarcoma. That's what it was. That's what he had. But it could include fibrosarcoma, hemangiopersitomoma, liposarcoma, rhabdomyosarcoma, and leiomyosarcoma, malignant fibrous histosarcoma, malignant nerve sheath tumors, mycoexsarcoma, mycofibrosarcoma, mechopsychomoma, and spindle cell tumors. And if you want to see this, I will put a link in the notes. But this is for anyone who has pets, anyone who believes in vaccines. I highly, highly, highly recommend that you read about sarcomas in cats and dogs due to vaccinations. Because what this doctor told me they discovered is that the 3-year rabies vaccine and the feline leukemia vaccine in cats, because of the adjuvant, was causing these cancers. And when they'd been giving the shots to the animals at the scruff of the neck, they were ending up getting these cancers on their spinal column. And hey, I don't know about you, but you can't do much of an amputation at a spinal column, which is why Veterinary Association changed the site for injections to the right and the left back leg, and they split them up. So you had the rabies vaccine was in one, and some of the others were in the other leg. So they could determine, A, what potentially gave them the cancer, and B, they could amputate if necessary. So, ha! Stick a pipe in that one and smoke it. So that's what happened. That is what happened to my cat. And it was the adjuvant. It was the aluminum adjuvant that they had discovered that was causing the tumors in my beloved cat. So that led me to start digging into adjuvants, start asking lots of questions, not only for animal vaccines, but for humans. Then I found out not too long thereafter, I got sick myself with that chronic fatigue syndrome. And I had friends that had been in the Gulf War that had ended up with things similar to chronic fatigue syndrome. My friend that I grew up with was in the first Gulf War, and they had been made to get that anthrax vaccine when they went over to Iraq. That anthrax vaccine, we find out, had the new experimental adjuvant called squalene in it, made out of shark's fin or shark cartilage. Our bodies make squalene, But it's a bit different than shark squalene that we are injecting into a muscle, because it is not an internally produced substance. This is an externally produced substance that we are putting in the body, that the body could potentially, the immune system, have some sort of adverse reaction to. And see, this is where now, yesterday's show, we were talking about immunity and them tinkering with the human immune system. And now we literally are talking about genetically modifying humans to be able to react to an infection on the fly, known or unknown, without any previous library of recognition that you could get from exposure or potential vaccination. But these adjuvants were already causing problems in the past, and this is one of the reasons why I think, personally, they have now started to look at a bit different way to manipulate the immune system, because those adjuvants, what they basically did with an adjuvant is they irritated the immune system. And so we had the 1-year rabies vaccine, and then they came out with the 3-year rabies vaccine, and the difference was they put aluminum sulfate or something like that into it, and that aluminum irritated the immune system. So the immune system was exposed to rabies. It says, oh, ding, 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 I see a virus. Ding, 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 let's catalog it. Ding, 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 this is a bad one. But with the original vaccine, it only gave you, quote, unquote, gave you. We find out now that even these vaccinations that they say are only good for 1 year are probably good for quite a few more, just like the drugs. Drugs that are out there that have an expiration date of a year, but they're probably good for 10. I had my current vet, who also happens to be a Cornell graduate. He's probably close to retirement. He's been doing it for 30 years. He runs his own veterinary practice here in the next town over. But he and I had some deep conversations about this, because guess what? Not many people know about the Cornell study into the sarcomas and the vaccine relation. And the fact that he had been a Cornell student, I'm sure he knew very well about that, especially in the veterinary school. And you had somebody, me, who had a personal experience living through my animal being a research subject. Now, mind you, after we had the amputation, I signed a document because they asked me to have his leg sent to Cornell to become a part of the research that they were doing on these sarcomas. My cat literally became part of the petri dish. But I had a conversation, many long conversations, because I still have all kinds of kitty cats. And we talked about vaccines and how important they are, and especially for indoor cats that don't ever go outside. And I mean, yeah, there's the off chance that they could get out once or twice. I had my cats little nimble claws figure out how to pick out the lock on the screen, and ended up in my backyard. And actually, the one, little Casey, he was an oldster. He was probably 16 or so. He actually had a spat with a cat that was in my backyard. Must have come in through the woods, which wasn't a good thing either. But I asked him, what are the chances that an indoor cat is going to get something if they are not vaccinated? And the chances are very low. Here's something else you want to talk about pets for a second. Just be aware. We read about this in regards to some of the infection control when we had those big outbreaks of bird flu, if you remember, up in Minnesota and the states up north there last year or the year before, and they had to cull all of those poultry, remember? And they were spraying them. Army Corps of Engineers came in Minnesota and freaking sprayed them all with foam, suffocated them. It was horrible, horrible, horrible. But we were reading about some of the infection control that was going on up there. And you got to be very, very, very careful. And this is not just with bird flu. This is with any pathogen. Stuff can get carried on your shoes. Stuff can get carried on your pants. Doesn't necessarily die the instant it is removed from a warm body. Depends on what it is, of course. But in the name of climate change and in the name of never before seen, and how many times have we seen that? There's all kinds of crazy shit appearing out of the blue, wink, in puddles in places like Colorado. 135 new life forms. We found that a while back. You know, just out of the blue appeared. You gotta be careful when you come from especially a strange place back into your household and get near your animals and or, if for that matter, other people that live in the household with you. When my daughter gets home on a daily basis from school, I have my daughter take off her coat after being on the bus with all those little virus carrying agents. Take off your coat, take off your gloves, go wash your hands and get into some comfy clothes. Get your clothes into the hamper. And you know what? That, of course, sets the stage to change gears, but it also is like a decontamination procedure. And I don't tell her that, of course, but in my own mind's eye, you know what? Who knows what is going around at school? And I don't want that brought into the household. I'm not exposed to those little germ-carrying me screaming memes 24/7. I only have one. But the same thing with your pets. You got to be careful because viruses and bacteria can be transported into your house. What does my vet say? My vet says, well, yes, we talked about this. The transportation of viruses and bacteria can come in on your clothing and your hands and your shoes. So you must be careful about where you go. You don't want to go into an infected area and then carry that into your house. But number two, yes, 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 just what we had suspected. Immunity with vaccines actually lasts longer than the 1 year from a non-adjuvanted vaccination. The three-year vaccination, all it does is exposes your body to the same pathogen, but then it makes your immune system overexcited and says, hey, this is a really bad one. Annoy. When you find this, overreact. Annoy. And see, that overreaction in the immune system is what they think we're causing the cancer. Well, now let's get back to squalene, the Gulf War, and the 90s. With the squalene, they were using the squalene as a new type of adjuvant in this anthrax vaccine. And I also have some growing suspicions that in the flu vaccines that they were giving away for free on college campuses in the early 90s to people who lived in the dorms. Ding, ding. Can you say a petri dish of 20-somethings to experiment on? Yes. My one and only flu shot ever. Thinking that I was doing something that would protect others, I stepped right up. I got my flu shot. As I was walking through the lounge and they were sitting there with a nurse giving away for free. And I hate to tell you, but I'm gonna. That was when the beginnings of all of my health problems for the next 25 to 30 years began. I've been able to pinpoint that now to that very point in time where I started to have real freaky things happen and I never, ever had issues. I mean, I guess I did. I had some issues when I was a kid with impetigo, which was impetigo is related to Staphylococcus bacteria and streptococcal. I think I got mine from the streptococcal. I traced it all way back to getting strep throat over and over again as a teenager and then never properly finishing my antibiotics. There's all kinds of things that can happen there. I don't know if you ever read about it, but rheumatic fever can happen and that. Which would explain like a heart murmur that they found back when I was trying to get my physical for college. All kinds of weird shit. So, hey, number one, yes, but the flu shot with whatever adjuvant, I'm almost thinking that it could have been squalene. Back in the early 90s, sent me down a path of autoimmune destruction. Because that was when, right at the same time that those Gulf War vets were all now experiencing some never-before-seen malady called, I said it before and I always forget, chronic fatigue syndrome. That's what they diagnosed me with. I literally, by the time I got out of college, I couldn't do anything. I was so exhausted and so sick, and I hurt so bad all over, and just there was just nothing left. And they told me I had cancer. They told me I had leukemia. They told me I had allergies. They told me I had all kinds of crazy crap, but nobody could figure out what it was. And then they said, oh, by the way, guess what? You've now graduated from college. And you no longer have health insurance through the college. I had health insurance through the college. So, of course, yes, I was a state guinea pig. And we can't help you anymore. And that was the end of that. So from 1991 until 2017, I have been on this investigation for immunology, adjuvants, and weird shit that happens to people and animals. So I don't know about you, but like I said, anybody who, it just really tweaks me off, I gotta tell you, anybody who out of 8 listens yesterday, I get a thumbs down because, like, what? You don't believe what I'm saying? What? You didn't read one of the 37 links that I put in here to show you some of the stuff I was talking about? Just kind of irks me. I get up every morning. I really don't want to do this show anymore. I hate to tell you, because I'd rather be sleeping or dealing with one of the myriad of issues that I have on my plate on a daily basis versus sitting here doing the show and then having to do the notes for 2 hours to prove all the things I'm saying. On the other hand, it's good therapy. It gets it off my chest, and I don't make my family's ears bleed, but just got to tell you, when people do stuff like that, all I can think is you got to be some sort of pro-vaccine shill to do something like that. So now let's move forward. 33 minutes rehashing and talking about stuff that happened in the 90s. Now we're going to continue. So we spent a lot of time on DARPA the last 2 days. We talked about experimental science that they are launching on the American public. All in the name of warfare and keeping us safe, protecting us. Got the 21st Century Cures Act that is now in place that has not only legalized experimentation on humans and gotten that pesky FDA out of the way that never really protected us anyway. It now allays the ethical concerns that maybe some of those youngins had. And it dazzles them with dollars. So they now can have a glowing career in mad science gone mad, mixing and matching DNA, and creating synthetic cures. We have Big Pharma having an orgy because they not only now, Project BioShield gave them a guarantee that they would purchase their experimental vaccines. Didn't matter, put them in the stockpile. But now Big Pharma has been given even a bigger green light to be able to market direct to the consumer. And if there's any consumer out there that is desperate enough to want the new treatment, the nanobots in your blood, or the CRISPRing of your DNA to potentially become part of history and get a case study written about you, be one of the first to help prove this new cutting-edge technology works. Hey, Big Pharma's all in for it. But we ended the show looking at Trump's new appointment, RFK Jr. And I thought this was pretty significant. This is where we ended the show yesterday. I want to talk a little bit about this and then pop back over to some of the stuff that is on the front cars of this train that is moving ahead 225 miles an hour. For 21st century cures, all spearheaded by DARPA. Now, RFK Jr. at least has the name of Kennedy. They have done a good job to paint RFK as a bit of a lunatic. I don't know if you've ever listened to him or read any of the speeches that he has made going around to some of these different legislatures talking about the dangers of vaccines. But one of the things, RFK is not anti-vaccine, but he absolutely is pro-vaccine safety. He thinks there are issues. He's still on the boat for thimerosal and mercury, which is a thimerosal, I guess, is a form of mercury. They use them as preservatives. But they also put all kinds of other things in here that we've dug into, like DNA from animals and aborted fetal tissue. We looked at that a long time ago. Some pretty crazy things that, why, you would never want to put these into your baby. Your baby who, when they were born, had nothing wrong with them, and then you're going to put all of this disturbing material into their bloodstream, and they're just going to tell you it's safe. Yeah, shake their heads, and maybe, just maybe, if you're lucky, you won't be the one in 10,000 that has some severe adverse reaction. But RFK Jr. blasts Albany. This was in June, I believe. June 2015. He was here in New York at our Albany legislature as they were working on trying to make the meningitis inoculation mandatory for 7th and 12th graders here in New York State. And he stood up and said, look, there are more children that get damaged by this meningococcal vaccination than children in New York State that get meningitis. And I found out when I was digging into this as well that they had actually, at one point, this meningitis vaccine had been mandatory at a federal level, and they pulled it off the list because there were lots and lots of questions as to whether or not it still included thimerosal. Even though they said they took it out, there were lots of people saying it was still in there, even though it wasn't on the ingredients list, et cetera, et cetera. And New York State, and I was trying to find it last night, and I got to tell you, at the time I dug into it, I had articles that were digging into the relationship between the lawmakers that were supporting this meningitis vaccine legislation and the companies that were producing this vaccine. And I wasn't able to find that yesterday again, which is somewhat suspicious to me, knowing now that we have all this verified, quote unquote, news on the internet filtered by truth algorithms by Google. But I know I read it. I knew it was out there. Who the hell cares? Because I'm telling you, I'm going to be facing this in about a year and a half. And there's going to be a battle. There is going to be a battle. I'm going to have to get some teeth and do some real investigative journalism and go digging into the relationship and exposing some politicians if that is the case. But so JFK Jr. has been named, I don't know if he was chairman or something, to this new vaccine safety board that Trump has. And I don't know if it was a Trump board or if it's a federal board. Here it is. We'll find out. It was in Scientific American. Vaccine critic Kennedy claims Trump tapped him to chair the panel on vaccination safety. Update. Oh, wait, this was an update since yesterday. A presidential transitional national spokesman has said that the president-elect would like to a form a commission on autism, but no final decision has been made. So out, and I think that they should, as a matter of fact, outspoken vaccine critic John F. Kennedy Jr. has accepted a position within Donald Trump's administration as a chair of a panel on vaccine safety and scientific integrity. Oh my goodness. You know, we found out when Trump was elected, we had all these far lefty scientists going, oh my God, this is the end of science as we know it, because we have stupid people in the White House now who don't believe in science. No, we have people in the White House, and I mean, I'm not going to say, I think Trump is a little lunatic-y sometimes, but I'm going to tell you at least what he is doing is questioning the narrative. And guys, if there was one thing my mother always taught me as a child, is don't believe something because somebody tells you. She probably said that to me a bazillion, and I mean literally a bazillion times. Don't believe something because somebody tells you. Always do your own research. Isn't that what the alternative media is all about? The alternative media is looking at what they are trying to feed us, the propaganda machine that is now legalized as part of the NDAA. And do your own research. Find the sources. Find where they are referencing and make sure that it is some sort of reputable news. You know, they are spinning out this fake news mantra and that we are so dumb and that everything that we say can't be trusted. And all my friends that I grew up with and the people that I know in person, every single one of them, I can't even go into that Facebook feed because they are so far the other direction. They literally are the people that are going to get in line, who are going to get these new therapies because, oh, the government told us that this is in our best interest, guys. Now, when it comes to billions of dollars of potential profit to be made in the next 3 years, says Motley Fool, all in the name of 21st century cures. Do not believe it because they tell you to. Do your own research. The offer to bring Kennedy onto a board position with the Vaccine Safety and Scientific Integrity Panel came in last Wednesday during a meeting between Trump and the scion of America, most prominent Democratic family, which is Kennedy. It's likely to concern scientists and public health experts who fear that the incoming administration could give some legitimacy to skeptics of childhood immunizations, despite a huge body of scientific research demonstrating that, what the hell, vaccines are safe. Now, wait. We established that part of that, quote, huge body of scientific research, unquote, has been deemed to be potentially at least 50% inaccurate, and that is per some of the FDA's own statements. There was a lot of stuff that was published that was found to be incorrect, that was found to be faulty research, that was found to be paid for by industry shills that are all out there still being presented as truthful fact in the science journals. So wait a second. So on the one side, you're going to point to fake news, but on the other side, you're going to point to that same research that we are utilizing to prove our points. And you're going to say, but look, it says that it's safe. We didn't say that half the research is fake. Oh, no. It says that it's safe. Now, they totally forget about that congressman, and I don't remember his name, but it was a while back, who had all of the documentation, the papers that got shredded by the one guy at the CDC, but there was another guy that was in that same meeting who did not get rid of his paperwork that was showing research that had a direct connection between autism and the MMR vaccine. And there was a congressman who presented it not once but twice now to Congress, and nothing has ever happened with that. I think his name was Posey. I think that was the congressman. I don't know. Don't hold it against me if I was incorrect on that, but I'll find it. I posted that when it happened. So all I want to say about this is we have one person that's going to be standing up now against this establishment. I don't know if this is a token or what, because don't think that Trump probably isn't invested in the biotech market. I would almost have to believe that he is. We saw when he got elected, the biotech stocks went through the roof. Of course, that was right before the 21st Century Cures Act passed, and all that funding was released for mad science gone mad. Anyway, Kennedy has repeatedly questioned the safety of vaccines and advanced arguments that there is a link between immunizations and autism. He's also suggested that thimerosal, a mercury-based preservative used in vaccines, can be harmful to children, a notion that has been widely debunked. And, you know, I don't know if that's been widely debunked, honestly. They've been saying that there is no connection, but there is research on both sides of the fence. You know, mercury is nerve-damaging agent. And I don't know, think about it logically. You have this pristine child that you just birthed into the world, having birthed a creature myself into the world. Why the hell would you go putting mercury into that kid? Explain that to me. Because that makes no sense whatsoever. Mercury is toxic. That's why we don't eat the tuna. Oh, no, no. You know what? Guess what, pregnant women? It's okay to eat the tuna. That's what they're saying now, too. Don't worry about the radiation in it either. Public health agencies, I mean, they just don't give a shit, guys. They just don't. Public health agencies did suggest manufacturers eliminate or reduce the amount of thimerosal in vaccines, and many have done so. But they haven't gotten rid of any of the transgenic animal DNA and shit that's in there. But a number of studies have also discredited the idea of thimerosal being the cause of vaccines. Well, yeah, a number. And let's see, were they peer-reviewed and were they paid for by industry? Kennedy's work on autism has created controversy over the years. In 2005, he wrote an expose contending that scientists were hiding the link between thimerosal and autism. And years later, Salon, they had it published in Salon and Rolling Stone, retracted the story, noting that its basic thesis wasn't accurate. Rolling Stone just deleted it, so I don't know what that's about. They probably got threatened, but Kennedy was not finished with the subject. He edited a 2014 book called Thimerosal, Let the Science Speak, the evidence supporting the immediate removal of mercury, a known neurotoxin, ding, from vaccines. The volume makes his case that thimerosal is still causing autism and other neurological problems and should be eliminated worldwide. Now, we'll read a little bit more. While Trump's casual remarks on vaccines have alarmed public health advocates, they have, God forbid, energized the anti-vaccination movement. He met over the summer with Andrew Wakefield. That was the doctor that was discredited, but there's evidence now that Wakefield was not incorrect. A former medical doctor who wrote a very well-publicized study that kicked off the movement, and Wakefield's study was later discredited and his medical license revoked, and it was. But in the meantime, they don't mention in the Scientific American article, Posey coming out with those documents from the CDC that were discarded in the trash, showing a connection between MMR and potential autism. So now we have Kennedy potentially in this position. We have the 21st Century Cures Act rolling out. Hey, guess what? We're going to get rid of thimerosal and adjuvants and all these new vaccines. So it's really not going to matter too much for the future because we're going to do gene therapy. We got all these newfangled ways that we can splice and dice and we can put medications into little nanobots. And we got all kinds of money going into finding new ways to engineer vaccines from the ground up. And here's a story out of Singularity Hub. And this is the joint publication by Kurzweil and Google. Larry Page was at the beginnings of the founding of Singularity Hub. Singularity University. How we'll stop future pandemics? Well, we will engineer vaccines from the ground up. In 1918, and we all remember what that year was. That was the year of that virulent flu that killed a large majority of humans on this planet. It was the bloodiest war in history. To that point, that ended. It was also the year another war began. Instead of humans killing one another, it was nature's turn to wreak havoc. By the way, that war of 1918, if I'm not mistaken, that was the year that Canada fought against the United States, which is kind of amusing to think about. Since my entire lifetime, Canada has been our friends, and I grew up being able to see them across the lake and wave every time I was down at the beach. There's a couple old forts on the beach, actually, where they had little gunner holes, too, where they'd be shooting at the Canadian ships coming across Lake Erie. Anyway, with an estimated 20 to 40 million deaths, the flu epidemic of 1918 to 1919 took more lives than World War I and killed more people in 1 year than the bubonic plague did in 4. And, you know, we covered the flu of 1918 quite a while ago when scientists published not one but two research studies of taking that 1918 flu and making it way more virulent so it'll kill way more than 20 to 40 million people instead of just, you know, a percentage, a low percentage. It would kill a high percentage of people. And they published those in scientific journals. And there was a big argument about that. Like, should we publish stuff like this? And they're like, well, it's all in the name of freedom of speech. So let's publish ways to take old viruses and make them into weapons of mass destruction. And I mean, we have found now that's off the hook. We got little Johnny's DIY editing gene kit that you can put in mommy's back bedroom or garage and make your own virus. And we got them publishing ways for any lunatic to take some scrapings. And I don't know. I don't know if they have 1918 flu sitting around in filing cabinets or not, like they did for anthrax and smallpox, but I wouldn't doubt it. Medical science for 4.5 years devoted itself to putting men on the firing line and keeping them there, says the Journal of American Association, noted in 1918. But now we must turn with its whole might to combating the greatest enemy of all, and that is infectious disease. Well, could such a deadly virus resurface? Well, maybe if they didn't recreate it twice and publish it. But yes, the answer is. And the question now is whether or not we are prepared for it. Well, good thing we got that 21st Century Cures Act, and good thing that DARPA is messing around with shape-shifting immune systems. In a talk at Singularity University's Exponential Medicine Conference, that sounds like it would have been a good one, Dr. George Post suggested that we are not paying nearly enough attention to the risk of another global pandemic. And I told you people, I think that's the next card they're going to play. Is a big one this time. They were just tests the last time. This one's going to be a biggie. We have been asleep at the switch, he says, with regard to global infectious disease for far too long, and we have inadequate threat surveillance. Well, this was in October of 2016. Thank goodness that in November, very beginning, Obama passed a new executive order for global health agendas and safety. Yeah, so if we got another card in play, just for you and me, to make sure that we do have surveillance. I just lost my spot. I made the mistake of clicking to another document. Oh, hold on, hold on, hold on. Where the hell is it? I don't know. We're going to sing until I find it. And now we're in all the brain projects. But no, we don't want to go there. Holy shit, I don't know where it is. Oh, here we go. All right. Post is a professor of the Health Innovation and Chief Scientist for the Complex Adaptive Systems Initiative at, oh, another one of our mad science universities, Arizona State. In his talk, he sketched out global disease from the last decade. And of course, I would have to say even from the last year, this isn't the last decade, chikungunya to Ebola and Zika. He said that these dormant diseases are flaring back up. And novel ones keep appearing. And of course, I'm going to add to that, those are our never-before-seens. And according to Dr. Post, the latest Ebola epidemic killed some 10,000 people, and Zika is rapidly spreading. The nastiest viruses evolve fast, and it is a sort of arms race. The greatest challenge, as Post sees it, is how quickly we can deploy our defenses. Remember, this is all about security and national defense. Speed is paramount, but when it comes to the development and the production of vaccines, speed is hard to achieve. And diagnostic tests can take up to a year to develop. Vaccines can take 3 to 10 years. Don't worry about that, though, because DARPA has brought all of those new technologies to the forefront. And even if we poured our total vaccine production capability to fight one virus, the total capacity is only about 900 million doses for a global population of 7 billion. He thinks that new technologies such as rapid genomic sequencing, ding, ding, step up and give us your DNA, as well as advanced computing and protein engineering, will bring much faster and more effective solutions in the future. Vaccine production is mostly biological, and the virus in question is the starting point from which we create a new vaccine. Exactly what I said. The biowarfare program that officially ended 1969, inked in 1972, never ended. Because why? Because we had said we were going to keep a defensive posture creating vaccines, and he just said it, the virus in question is the starting point from which we create new vaccines. So we had all of those biopathogens in hand that whole time. He thinks that we need to accelerate this process by building the molecular components of vaccines from the ground up. To do this, we have to use powerful computers to analyze, model, and catalog the structure of molecules that stimulate immunity. And this immunological library would outline the rules of engagement for new invaders. The final step would be to leverage our growing ability to engineer proteins to make the vaccine itself. And he says this is the world that we are headed toward. Analyzing the complex 3D structures of proteins and determining how they fold takes a lot of computing power, and chemically synthesizing these proteins on demand is a challenge that scientists are sorting out. But as genomic sequencing, computer power, and protein engineering advance and converge, ding, 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 he envisions a world capable of very rapid and wide-scale response to future viral threats. We would go from a capacity of 100 million doses to billions of doses in a sitting. And all right, and where we're going to end it up today, DOD announces award of new advanced tissue biofabrication manufacturing in Manchester, New Hampshire. The Department of Defense announced an award to a public-private manufacturing institute to make tissue biofabrication manufacturing innovation. All right, guys, have an awesome Thursday.
Ozzy's Skateboard.